The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of a man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Can you see the point?
We stand for prayer and the reading of our text. Grace be unto you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for its beauty. We thank you for its wonder. We thank you for the creation that is all about us, Father, here in this beautiful place. We thank you for the oceans. We thank you for the sky. We thank you for the trees, and we thank you for the bounty of our land. And we thank you for the privilege we have, Father, of being here today to worship you, to praise you, to hear your word, to hear our forgiveness of sins, to approach your altar, receive the body and blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. We thank you, O God, and we praise your holy name. And we ask that you would watch over us. May the word spoken today be to your praise and to your glory and for our edification and the expansion of our faith. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The text for this morning's consideration comes from two of the lessons for today. From the Old Testament lesson in Deuteronomy, we read this. You might follow along in your bulletin. "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, your God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command and do not subtract from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you." And then from the gospel lesson for today, Jesus says this. He says, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this." And then he goes on to explain how evil comes from out of us. And in the closing sections, he says, "For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, as I prepare for a sermon every Sunday, Pastor and Jennifer send me a copy of the bulletin early in the week, and I read through the bulletin a couple of times, maybe three times. Occasionally I might do more than that, but I read through the bulletin so I have a good understanding of the service, of what we're going to be taught by God, by our pastor in the sermon, and what we're saying to God and what he's saying back to us. So I read through it. And as I read through this one today, it surprised me in a couple of places. If you turn to page 3 in your bulletin for today, wonderful surprise. It says, "As we gather, it has been said the church is never more than one generation from extinction. This bold statement perhaps finds support in the admonition found in today's Old Testament reading. There Moses writes this concerning the works of the Lord. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Each generation has the responsibility and privilege of passing on the works of God to the next generation." You can read the rest of that at your leisure, and you probably will. But as I began, this kind of startled me a little bit. And I said, that's interesting. What am I going to find in the rest of the service? And so as I read through the service, I come over to page 4, And on page 4, we make a confession. Pastor goes before the altar on our behalf, and he says, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then we responded, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. And then Pastor says these words, upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing statement. When we first moved here 7 years ago, it's almost exactly 7 years, we arrived here on July 17th in 2017. When we arrived here, Norm and I weren't sure where we would go to worship. We knew this church was here, but we knew it was almost an hour's drive from where we lived down on the South End. And so we said, well, let's try some of the local churches. So we went to one local church, and it was very interesting. It was kind of like a camp meeting. The pastor was dressed in casual clothes like he might be going out to do a barbecue, and the praise band was very interesting. They were very good, extremely good, and they brought a great deal of energy to the service. And they sang and played some good hymns. It was kind of like attending a little concert, you might say. And it was uplifting. And then the pastor got up and he gave a sermon, and it was kind of a rambling sermon. I don't recall much about it, sadly, but it seemed more like he was just giving a talk on the radio to anybody who might be listening. And the sermon service came to an end with more praise band. But what was missing was what we just did. What was missing was confession and absolution. And that we needed that. We needed to hear that, because moving creates tension between people. And we needed to hear that. God forgives us our sins. And we didn't hear that. So we continued to go to church down there for a while, and then we finally decided to come up here for church. And we're thrilled to get here and to come into this congregation and join you in making our confession before the altar of God and having our pastor turn to us and say to us, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, I announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And our spirits were lifted up. And it felt wonderful to be worshiping with you folks here in this place, to know that we came in here as sinful beings. And early on in our worship experience, our pastor, by the peace of God dwelling in him, by the Spirit of God upon him, he pronounced forgiveness to each and every one of us. And we knew that we would leave there as renewed people. Because the Bible says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And we're praising Jesus as Lord. And so we had the Holy Spirit in us. And our pastor reminded us that because of that, we had forgiveness of sins. And that morning also, we came up to the altar. And we received the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our pastor said, given for you for the remission of all of your sins. And as I pondered that, I said, wow, that's really pretty special. We have a special liturgy that brings us to our God, to praise him, to thank him, to glorify him. Yet at the same time, he reminds us of our sin. And then he forgives us our sin. And that is so wonderful. And then I began to work through the service for the day. I found the introit to be truly uplifting. I found the fact that we're singing glory to the Father and to the Son, Holy Spirit, to really stir my spirit and stir my soul. And then we went to the Kyrie, and the peace let us pray to the Lord. And we all say, Lord, have mercy throughout that. And we get to the prayer of the day, and again we go before God, and here it says, O God, the source of all that is just and good, nourish in us every virtue and bring to completion every good intent, that we may grow in grace and bring forth fruit of good works. Wow, Isn't that powerful? Isn't that encouraging to know that our pastor goes and prays on our behalf to God, that he would be the source of all that we need, and that it would make us good and nourish us in every virtue. And then he says, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And we all say, Amen. And then I read the lessons, the Old Testament lesson. The Old Testament lesson, God is speaking through the prophet and saying to them, O Israel, the decrees of the laws I'm about to teach you, follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you. And my heart became saddened, because I look at the world around us in which we all participate, and we all say, what's happening? What's happening? How come sin is running so rampant throughout our country? How come people in high places are advocating direct disobedience to the law of God? How come everything is so wrong? And God says, observe them carefully. But it seems in the world today that we don't want to observe them. As Jesus says in the gospel, from our heart comes evil thoughts. And I look at this and I say, wow, wow, I have failed. Jesus says here, God says here, only be careful and watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. And as I ponder that, sadness came upon my heart once again. Because I don't know all about each and every one of you, but I think some of you have had the same experience that we have had. We have 3 married children. We have 6 grandchildren. And sad to say, none of them go to church. None of them follow what they learned as children. I'm comforted by the fact that God's word does say, bring up a child in the way he shall go and he shall not depart from it. I'm wondering at what age. Because my one son is 50, the other is 45, our daughter is 41, I think, or 42. So we have these kids, we have these 6 grandkids. And I said, I fail here. I've not done the job God's called me to do. And maybe perhaps some of you have the same feeling. You look upon your children and your grandchildren, perhaps some of you even have great-grandchildren, and you think, where did I go wrong? What did I miss? Woe is me. I failed. And then I continue to read through the psalm on page 7. And we say, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. And I look back at the Old Testament lesson. I said, maybe not. And I continue to read this. And the pastor said, keep steady my steps according to your promise. And let no iniquity get dominion over me. And I look at my own sins. And I say, I fail there too. And I go down where pastor says, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. And my eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. And it does. It does sadden my heart that I look around the world and I see that people blatantly, blatantly, with volition, disobey the word of God. But I do too. And that's why we have the privilege of coming before this altar to confess our sins. And then we all said after the psalm, turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. And then we go to the epistle. It says, finally, be strong in the word and in his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil and his evil schemes. And it ends by saying, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And finally it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And it goes on and says, Paul says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And I think back over the last 80 years of my life, I turned 80 in May. 80 years of my life, I would say that during those 80, I probably was in church every Sunday, at least 75 of those. And I heard this message over and over coming from God. And yet, I did not remember how often. I didn't pray for Paul because he's gone, but we've been called in this section to pray for our pastor, Pastor Mark, who stands at this altar week after week, bringing our sins before God and turning and giving us his forgiveness. And I'm thinking in my mind's eye, as I'm struggling with these Bible verses and what they're saying and the guilt that's coming on me, I can see Pastor going, "Walt, didn't you hear me last week?" And we might go back to our seats after communion, and we still might have that sin nagging at us. And as we leave here, we still find ourselves engrossed by whatever sin or obsession is taking us and tearing us away from the Lord. And we think of Pastor saying, "Didn't you hear me? Didn't you hear me? I forgive you all your sins," he said. "All your sins." And I think, wow. And then I get to the gospel lesson for today. Pardon me. I get to the gospel lesson today. Please turn to page 8. I get to the gospel lesson for today. And Jesus says to us, "Listen to me and understand this." And he goes down and explains to us where sin comes from. And he says, toward the bottom of the page, "For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." You notice what Jesus does not say here, folks? He does not say the devil made you do it. He does not say that. We sin ourselves. We give in to the temptations of the devil. By our own will, we yield to Satan's temptations. Whether it's going down the road and getting angry at someone who's not driving the way you want them to drive, or whether it's in the grocery store when someone's stepped in line before you, no matter where it may be, maybe it's trying to get in line on the ferry and someone slips in ahead of you. We had that happen last week on our way to the mainland. It was not in front of us, but in front of two cars before us. Fellow drives right down, there's a gap, pulls right in. We had been waiting about an hour by that time. But we see all this going on, and then we see it in ourselves. The anger that we have towards other people, the malice that is the ill intent we have for other people. I'm sure that if you're like me and most people, there's some people who say, "I wish God would strike them down." And sometimes we say that about national leaders with whom we don't agree, that God needs to do something with them, get them out of there any way he can. And that malice seeps out from within us. It's not the devil making us do it. It's our own, as Jesus says here, our own arrogance and folly that we yield to day in and day out. And again, I say, man, I failed here. I failed here tremendously. And the weight of God's word was upon me. And I still see in my mind's eye, however, Pastor Mark saying, "Walt, didn't you listen to me last week? I forgave all your sins. You are redeemed, forgiven child of God." And then we move to the hymn for today, and it's, "Lord, keep your statutes in my heart. Guard me that I will not depart from you or from your righteous law, which holds no hint of human flaw." And as we sang that hymn today, we ask our God to come to us, to lift us up, to take away our tears. And we say, "Lord, tears of sorrow mar my face. Your truth is met with hell's disgrace. As unseen powers clash at war, preserve me from the harm in store." Again, we see God coming to us here as we plead to him, confessing our sins and asking God to guide us, to lead us, and Help us to take joy in his commandments and watch it spread to every land. Behold, your people stand in light. And then we come to the sermon. And following the sermon, we're in each week here. I'm so pleased that we have a pastor who takes preaching so seriously, who studies intently, who is a scholar, in my opinion. I just love the way he can take the words of scriptures, especially in Bible class, and the Hebrew and the Greek, and help us understand that and get a clearer picture of what God has done for us. And so every Sunday we hear that. And today, on page 10, we have the privilege and the joy of speaking the Nicene Creed, where again we say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the Apostolic Church. I acknowledge the one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And then we have our offering. And in the offering, today we'll sing this hymn, but I'd like you to read it with me, hymn 806. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. And truly, we give thanks to our God for what he's done for us in all things. And as we give thanks, we remember that we're not only giving thanks to him for the physical possessions that we have. We're not merely coming here to bring the tithes and offerings of our finances, but we're coming before the altar of God to give ourselves to him, that he would use us to spread his word throughout the world. And after that, we move to the prayers of the church on page 11. And we look at the bottom of page 11, and we're saying, but give us your armor to guard and defend us. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as your way is with those who love your name. And we love his name. That's why we're here. We not only love his name, we love him, and we praise him, and we glorify him for all he has done for us. And then we come to the sacrament of the altar. And here at the sacrament of the altar, it all came together for me. We go back to the confession and absolution, and now we come to the sacrament of the altar. And it says, blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only Son into our flesh to bear our sins and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and blood. And then we hear the words of installation. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body. This do in remembrance of me. And then we say, after that, he took the cup. And when he had finished eating, he gave it to them, saying, take and drink it, all of you. For this cup is a new testament in my blood, given for you for the remission of all your sins. And here it comes together, that all that we are doing today is to come before God, to praise and worship him because he has given to us his Spirit, his Son. All that we have has come from him. And more important, we have eternal life. We will live forever. There's no question to that. And we want you to know that. We want you to remember that. And we want you, when you go forth from here today, to go forth from here in the joy of knowing that in the body and blood you have received the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as you leave here, as you walk out those doors and get in those cars, and wherever you go, you are no longer the same sinful person you were when you entered here. Because the sins that you have all been washed away, as pastors like to say, in the flood of the blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in the post-communion hymn, our pastor goes, again, page 15, our pastor goes before the Lord on our behalf, and he says, we give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us the same in faith toward you and in fervent love for one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And we all say, and usually it's kind of a quiet, amen. But we should be saying, amen! Amen! This is amazing that God would choose us and that he would redeem us and send to us his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and pour into us the power of his Spirit that we might see and hear and believe all of this that he gives us in his holy word. We are so blessed to be the children of God that we can say, amen, which means, yes, it's so true. And then we go to the benediction. And therefore, our pastor says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. And the evil day comes every day to us. There's evil all around us. It's not someday in the far off, sometime maybe later. But every day we are confronted with the evilness of the day. And we have the armor of God enabling us to stand firm. And notice then on page 16, the pastor reassures us with the benediction. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This is not an idle statement. It is not, well, think about this, folks, after you leave here for a while. Give thought to this. This is important. It brings it all together. That as the children of God, we go forth from here blessed by God. And that blessing will sustain us. And the Lord shines his face upon us. What does that mean? He smiles upon us. God is up there in heaven smiling upon us because we have believed his word. And we have believed him and we believed his son, Jesus Christ. And all of us say, when the pastor says, look upon you with favor and give you peace. And we all say, amen. Amen. And that peace is not merely a calm feeling. In the Gospel of John, Jesus himself in chapter 14 tells us about that peace. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. God gives us all that we have. He gives us his peace, so that we know when we go forth from here today, we go forth from here as a redeemed children of God, freed from all the sanctions of hell that are imposed upon those who sin against him, and we are lifted up to the joy of our salvation and eternal peace in his presence, a peace that the world cannot give us. Praise God for that. And what do we say after Pastor says that? What do we say? We say, amen! Amen, with strength and with power, because we have been redeemed by Christ the crucified, and we have been lifted up to eternal life through the Spirit of God by the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus. And then after that, we'll sing this, and I hope we sing it with vigor. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. So I look back, and I never again want to have the feeling that pastor's there in my mind's eye saying, Walt, didn't you listen to me? Didn't you hear me when I say your sins are all forgiven? Because it's very easy. It's very easy when we walk out in this world to slip back in to our heart's desires and become that sinful person again. But we don't have to, because we've been redeemed, restored, forgiven by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, give you that peace, that reassurance, as you walk forth from here today to do whatever you're going to do, until we meet here next week again, and we hear our pastor once again preach God's holy word to us, may you remember who you are as a redeemed, restored, forgiven child of God. And all God's people say what? Amen. Amen. God be with you. Amen.